glad to have you guys back and actually listening to us, which Don doesn't do. Pays no attention whatsoever. But nonetheless, hope you guys check us out on Facebook and where else, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Absolutely. When you're looking for what the opening seasons are, whenever you're looking for an activity going on in the state you're interested in going to, check us out on TheValleyOutdoors.com. And yes, it's true. Don doesn't really listen. We had to do two takes on this one in order to get Don to be like,
ready to go.
Not interfering with the intro.
It's all right. We're
trying to lighten it up in here.
And then he's
bit.
Like, oh, you were ready to go? No, we were not ready to go. What, are you joking?
Yeah, I know.
What?
It's all right.
What?
What?
We're going now.
We're rolling now. So, Don.
Yes.
In generalities, when it comes to an election year, and I'm not going to be one side or the other, but when it comes to an election year, it's amazing how politicians want to be everything to everybody, depending on where they're at.
Yep.
Okay. Some more so than others. I'll leave it at that. But when it comes to trying to get the outdoors people, whether it's hunters or fishermen, they like to, quote unquote, dress the part or act the part or whatever and think that they know about the sport. Would that be a correct statement?
Probably.
We've seen it.
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Not going to mention any names.
No, not going to mention any names. It's kind of disingenuous.
Misrepresentation.
Yeah. And the big thing for me was there was one year past president was talking about gun control. And, you know, those automatic weapons are just, you know, those are dangerous weapons. And he's got a shotgun.
In his hand.
In his hand. He's shooting a shotgun.
Right.
And I'm absolutely blown away by the lack of understanding of what is going on. So really what it comes down to then is, it comes down to the same thing when it comes into what is an assault weapon, what is not, and how do we look at those
But the bottom line is this, and you know well, you're not fooling those that know.
No.
You know, so they're only making themselves look foolish by displaying sometimes you'd call their ignorance. So when it's on full display and those that know, know.
Well, and the part that I find funny is the fact that the outdoors people are very passionate about the people that are going to support what we as outdoorsmen believe in. If you're going to support what we believe in, then we're probably going to back what you're saying, or at least put it into consideration, right? And one of the statements that I was looking at, one of the article I pulled this from, it said, "Hey, I'm just a regular guy like you, and my hunter orange vest proves it."
Right.
And it's true. And that's the part that you look at, and you can get people that show up to events, but don't really, quote unquote,
have a clue
or have any interest in participating. They're just showing up.
Yeah. But here again, those that know, you get in a conversation with them, and it's fairly obvious. We've experienced that a few times.
Yes, we have done.
Yes.
Yes, in person.
Yes.
Yeah. So one example of this was John Kerry in 2004. Presidential hopeful John Kerry went goose hunting in Ohio. At least that's what he wanted the voters to believe. The Urbane, Massachusetts senator began his excursion by walking into a grocery store in the Buckeye State and asking, "Can I get me a hunting license here?" Things went downhill from there. The two-hour cornfield hunt was reportedly a tightly choreographed event, with Kerry's hunting companions doing most of the shooting and bird carrying. When the lifetime politician got some goose blood on his hand, he was careful to tuck it into his pocket before speaking with two dozen invited reporters. NBC News reported at the time that Kerry had hunted the previous year in Iowa, but that event was also a campaign photo op. He said elsewhere that he's shot birds off and on throughout my life, along with small game and deer, but he doesn't appear to have mentioned his deep and abiding love of hunting after losing the presidential election.
You haven't heard anything about it since, huh?
No.
No.
No, not happening. Mitt Romney, he's not the only quote-unquote milquetoast politician who stretched the truth in an effort to get the Hunt vote in 07. The former Massachusetts governor, Romney, caught some flack for calling himself a lifelong hunter, even though he's never purchased a hunting license or owned a gun. He made the remark at a campaign stop, which the team had to walk back the next day. They admitted that Romney only been hunting twice in his life as a teenager in Idaho and again in 2006 with donors in Georgia. But rather than let the story die, he came back the next day and contradicted his own campaign, saying the report is, I only hunted twice is incorrect. I've hunted small game numerous times as a young man and as an adult. By no means a big game hunter. I'm more Jed Clampett than Teddy Roosevelt. He tried to get around the fact that he never bought a hunting license in any of the states he's lived in Michigan, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, did not require a license to hunt small game, so there wasn't any way for his claims to be confirmed via public record. I've always been a rodent and rabbit hunter, small varmints, if you will. I began when I was 15 or so, and I've hunted those kinds of varmints since then more than two times. Congratulations to everyone who's hunted three times. You can be a lifelong hunter and run for president.
He went to the picnic at the end of the day.
It's exactly right. Yeah. And he had some rabbit or pheasant.
Yeah.
Last but not least, the Clintons. The Clintons may not have claimed to be lifelong hunters, but that hasn't stopped them from using a pastime to advance their own political agenda. In 08, Hillary responded to a question about gun control with a previously unknown anecdote about shooting a banded duck in Arkansas. I've hunted, she said. My father taught me how to hunt. I went duck hunting in Arkansas. I remember standing in cold water so cold at first light. I was with a bunch of my friends, all men. The sun's up, the ducks are flying, and they're playing a trick on me. They said, we're not going to shoot. You shoot. They wanted to embarrass me. The pressure was on, so I shot. And I shot a banded duck, and they were surprised as I was. Just a few days previously, Hillary leaned into her experience as a hunter to argue that criminal violence can be limited without infringing on gun rights. In this, she was taking on a page from her husband's playbook. Bill went on a duck hunt in Arkansas to prove to sportsmen the recent gun control bill passed by Congress would not limit opportunities in the field. We all shot them with weapons. I might add that they were not affected by the crime bill, he said. They told the reporters, I just wanted to make that point to all sportsmen and women that are watching this. He, like many other politicians, isn't shy about using hunting to justify further restrictions on gun ownership. So,
Did we have a vice president shot one of his compadres?
Yeah. And the takeaway is this. Here's a hot tip for all the political animals out there. Hunters can see a poser coming from a mile away. Don, off air, you just said that. Those of us that know can see a poser immediately.
Yes.
And if you're a genuine hunter, great. We need more of those in Washington. But if you're not, don't use our way of life, not to mention our natural resources, to garner rural support, push for gun control, or punch your ticket to the White House. As we've seen over the last 20-odd years, it's more likely to backfire than anything else.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's not that hard to figure it out.
No.
No, especially if they try to participate. If they've never done it and they end up in the field, I mean, if you have to tell them which way we're doing a push, if you're hunting for pheasants or how loud you're talking when you're out in the field hunting for deer.
That's a problem.
Well, they obviously haven't done it before.
Well,
you can't whistle going to your stand.
No. And to me, the issue really is coming on strong right now, because you have people that they're going to be trying to garner everything, and they're going to try to be whoever and whatever to the group that they're going to visit. You've seen it before.
Oh, sure.
And to me, it's, as I said before, it's the most disingenuous political move in history.
Right.
Well, and I have no
time for it.
I don't. It sucks because they're lying to people.
Yeah.
You know? And it just keeps coming back to the...
They're only kidding themselves, like we talked before. Yep. They're only kidding themselves.
No. So be aware out there. Take time. Look at it. Research it. And see who is and who is not actually part of that type of ilk, shall we say. And the positive side as well. Who is really participating or has participated. And it's going to come out. We talked about it off air. Yeah. some families are in that are in the political elite, shall we say, or the
our avid upper avid echelon. Hunters. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
there are. They are out there,
and they are, and they do speak from that level of application. So,
yep,
that's kind of cool. You know, Don, I was just an offsite comment. I didn't even. It's not on the roster or the rundown for today. We're talking about water flow on the river right now, and
you're talking
the Mississippi River. And you know, we had some rain last week, and of course, when it happens upstate and upper in the section of the state, we are what's called at the end of the pipe,
right?
And right now, all the roller gates are open, so they have two different situations. There's a lock side of the river, and then there is a roller gate or roller dam that they can drop down, stop the flow, or slow the flow of water. They're wide open, and it is just screaming. I think the river's going about 4 miles an hour right now.
Really?
And Mick, we're trying to figure out what must be going on, but all the traditional spots in the river right now are very, very difficult to fish because they're just raging and current. So,
I mean, current can be your friend sometimes, but
it can be if you find some backwater spots. But right now, it's going to be a challenge. I'm gonna go out as soon as we're done with the show. I'm gonna head out and see if I can't figure out something with a buddy of mine, Sean, and from the Red Wing Fishing League, and see if we can't put it together. This last week, we had a meeting with the league, and everybody was just like,
Nothing happened.
Walleye kind of shut down, and bass and cats, you can get some of those. But
And you've got the cat things.
I don't have the cat thing. You do, Don.
You have that
done.
Zeroed right
whiskers,
in.
Whiskers, meow, 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 meow.
Yes.
Yeah, you got the whisker mix in your boat.
You taught me how to do it.
Yep. I didn't teach anybody. piece of outdoor activity that's been going around and around, and an article just came out. I've been meaning to get to the original story, and it's regards to wake-enhanced boating.
Yes.
And if you're not familiar with wake-enhanced boating, what it involves is a water ski boat. In this case, it's going to be a wakeboard boat or wake surf boat. Wakeboarding is that you're going to pull with a rope. Wake surfing is you can create a wake that actually you can surf behind, which means you're going 16 miles an hour, I believe it is. And the boat has the ability to add weight through pumping bilge water, water from the lake into the bilge bags.
Right.
And then having gateways, that hydraulic gates that open up and push the boat to one side so it digs even deeper. So you surf on one side. All this comes down to the controversy of what are wake boats doing to the lakeshore.
The erosion.
Constantly, it's been a conversation without the wake surfing scenario.
Right.
And then you have the other part that comes in with the speakers and the loud music and everything else. So, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do. Well, there is a coalition forming in the state of Wisconsin to support tougher rules on wake-enhanced lake boating and recommended framework for statewide legislation. The goal is proactive on the important issues, said Cody Kamrowski, executive director of Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. We're hoping we see a law passed in the next session of the legislature that gives us more protection to our lakes. The founding members of the coalition are the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, Wisconsin Lake Association, Last Wilderness Alliance, Wisconsin Green Fire, and it looks like Walleyes for Tomorrow May, they're tentatively joining pending a vote by the directors. Their objectives and their recommendations are enhanced wake creation activities occur only 700 feet or more from shore. Wake creation shall only occur at depths in excess of 30 feet. Ballast systems must comply with the Department of Natural Resources regulations, and all ballast systems are subject to home lake rule requiring thermal decontamination before launching and certification for single lake use. It must be professionally decontaminated when relocating to a different lake and have accompanying paperwork. Furthermore, any antifreeze in the ballast tanks, because that's off-season used, must be purged before it comes into the Wisconsin, and regulations would take effect 1 year after regulations. Local units of government shall continue to have the right to enact ordinances that can be more restrictive, and their existing local ordinances are often stricter than the state minimums would they would remain in effect. He said it's critical for conservation and environmental groups to work with the legislature to enact the rules specific to wake-enhanced boating. We got more than 15,000 lakes, and no two are identical, Komorowski said. The residents of the local municipalities are the most knowledgeable about their lakes and most invested in how to best protect them. The state does allow for wake-enhanced boating in any area normal motorboat activities occur, and water skiing is allowed, typically at least 100 feet from shore.
I mean, it's they seem to be getting more popular. I mean, because it's a family affair out there with these. But I also was talking to someone who was boating up on the St. Croix River, which is a tributary to the Mississippi, which is north of where we live. And they've had the entire river, I believe, has been a no-wake zone for some time because of the high water, right? And they said it hasn't slowed the wake boats up, though. They're still use them out there. And, you know, sooner or later, you know, they're going to have to abide by some kind of regulation.
Well, and this year, Lac-Des-Flambeau Tribe outlawed in Wisconsin wake boats on 260 lakes in its northern Wisconsin reservation, including Fence Lake, 3,400-acre lake. So it's going to be contested in a big way. I think you have to realize that the zebra mussel aspect of it is going to be, you know, the old advertisement you guys have heard me say once or twice, clean, drain, and dry, together we can make a difference. But in this case, it's going to be a challenge because trying to get those boats completely ballast-free is almost an impossibility.
Right.
And it may be that they have to change how the boats are built so they can be decontaminated more easily. Not sure, but it is a hotly contested piece of legislature. So stay tuned for that, and I suspect Minnesota won't be far behind.
Right.
So speaking of far behind, we're behind. We're done. How about that? Thanks for hanging out with us. For Don, Ava, and myself, Eric, I hope you all have a fantastic, safe weekend. See you next week. Bye-bye.